We were doing his foundation study in Genesis, and the last time we were together, which was forever ago,
yes,
it was in November sometime.
It was last year.
And so we had gotten into the life of Abraham when we were here last, and we're still in the life of Abraham, but we're going to pause and look at the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah. This is what we call it, a foundations Bible study. We saw that Abraham was a man of faith. We saw that his faith wasn't perfect. We saw he grew in faith and he made decisions. Some of them weren't the best. That he didn't completely obey God when he left to go to the promised land. He was told not to take any of his family. He was told to go to the land that had been promised. He took his father and he took his nephew Lot. He only went halfway. His father finally died in Haran, and then he finished the journey. But each time Abraham finally took the right step of faith, God spoke to him. Mm-hmm. And God continued to do that. He went down into Egypt when he, instead of relying on the Lord, he figured he had to go to Egypt. God didn't tell him to go to Egypt. When he finally came back out of Egypt, God spoke to him again. And then one of the last things we saw was also, of course, the Abraham's attempt to bring about the heir that God had promised by producing Ishmael. We saw a lot of different things in Abraham's life. Some of them not so good, some of them very good. We will see the culmination of his faith probably in a couple of weeks' time as we consider what God called him to do with his only son. But for now, we remember how Lot's people and Abraham's shepherds began to quarrel with one another. They began to run out of room. They had traveled together all this time, and finally a division came. But you know, sometimes there's a godly division. It was actually God's plan for Abraham and Lot to separate, because he had been told from the very beginning to leave his family. But Abraham clung to his family and to Lot, but finally circumstances put him in the place where there would be obedience. And immediately after that happened, I think we looked at that the last time we were together, God spoke to Abraham again. And so sometimes we may not be hearing from God because we are either not listening, and sometimes we may be running our own course, going in a different direction than God is actually saying to us. And the result of that will be sometimes the heavens will be silent until we get things straight. And Abraham learned that he could trust God with obedience, even if it didn't seem to make sense at the time. And so we come to the story here. I'm going to go in Genesis 13 for a few moments, and then we're going to go on to chapter 18 and 19. But in 13, there was strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock, and the Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So Abraham said to Lot, "Please let there be no strife between you and me, and between my herdsmen and your herdsmen, for we are brethren. Is not the whole land before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, then I'll go to the left." And so Abraham, in his graciousness, told Lot, "You pick the land." He was really telling him, "You can have the best. You can have the best. It's not an issue for me. You go where you want to go, and I'll go in the other direction. I don't want to argue about this. I don't want there to be strife." And so Lot lifted up his eyes and saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. This is before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt as you go towards Zoar. So the best, most beautiful land was there on the plain of Jordan. So Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan. And Lot journeyed east. And they separated from each other. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain. And he pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. There's a significance to this little statement, as I think the old King James said, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. But there was a problem with that. Mm-hmm. And the problem was the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. But nevertheless, what did Lot do? He pitched his tent towards Sodom. Was to take this study perhaps seriously in the sense, if we pitch our tent towards Sodom, towards where wickedness is, it's going to infect us, it's going to affect us.
Yeah.
And we see what happens with Lot. And so we come to chapter 18, verse 16, because I'm following this story. We had already looked at the first part of chapter 18 the last time we were together. Remember, the Lord came with two angels to visit Abraham, and Abraham got all excited and told Sarah, get some food ready. These are special guests. And they prepared the meal for them. And as the Lord spoke to Abraham and said, you're going to have a son. Sarah's going to have a baby. Sarah was listening in the tent and she laughed.
Yes.
And of course it said, why did Sarah laugh? And they said, you'll call him Isaac, because his name was actually Laughter.
Yeah.
And after all that interaction, which we did look at, as I said, back in November, we come to the end of that meeting, and the men rose from there and looked towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to send them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. The Lord says, he's almost like he's speaking to the angels and says, well, you know, what should we do here? Am I going to hide this from Abraham? And no, I'm not going to hide it. For I've known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. And the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is great. So the first thing that he says is that Abraham is called of God. And because he's called of God, and he has a task to perform, and that is that he's going to be the father of many generations, and that his children are to keep the way of the Lord in righteousness, I'm going to reveal things to him. And the truth of the matter is that God is revealing things to us. If you did listen to my message from Sunday, The Way of Wisdom, then you'll see that God has revealed things to us by his Spirit that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, and neither has it entered into the heart of man. God reveals to us. And God has revealed much to you. If you have been chosen by God, and if you have trusted him, excuse me, as your Lord and Savior, then God is revealing things to you. And some of those things are very relevant in your life. God is in the process of revealing truth about Jesus Christ, about his ways, about his judgments, about his mercy, and about his grace. But here, he is revealing to Abraham what is to come for Sodom and Gomorrah, because their sin is very grave. He said, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that is against it, that has come to me, and if not, I will know. It sounds very interesting, this, doesn't it? Because this is the Lord. But what he's actually saying is, I'm going to go and experience it for myself. I'm going to physically enter into Sodom and Gomorrah, and I'm going to see what's going on. And so the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And so it seems as if the Lord himself remained and the angels went, but it also seems as if they were proxy. The angels were going down in the Lord's power and presence. And so Abraham came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? And now we have a little story here of the intercession of Abraham. Thank you. He looks at He knows the town, and he also knows something else. What is it?
There are good people.
What else? Lot lives there.
Oh, yeah, right.
Lot lives there.
Yeah.
Are you going to destroy the righteous with the wicked, he says? Suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous that were in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do right? I find him very bold, don't you?
Yeah, the Lord. Telling this to the Lord, yeah.
He's really, you know, he's sticking it to him. Right? He's saying, surely you wouldn't destroy it if there was 50 righteous people in this city. Because it's not fair. Shall not the judge of the earth do right? What does the Lord say? The Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes.
The whole place.
Yeah. I'll spare the city for their sakes. Now, what does that tell you about Abraham and his walk with God?
Close.
What's that?
Very close.
Pretty close. What else? The Lord already said, you know, their days are numbered, basically.
Mm-hmm. He could trust
them. Huh?
He spoke to him every time that he was in his will.
Okay. So he was... What's that?
And directed him.
Yeah. The Lord, Abraham had learned to trust God. But also, don't you find this him bold? Mm-hmm. Don't you find this very bold for him to come before the Lord and say, Lord?
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. also, can you not see that the Lord actually listened to Abraham? Do you understand the value of prayer then?
Mm.
Do we see that you can come into the presence of God and ask him for mm-hmm. things maybe more than what we
deserve?
Sure,
or yeah.
I mean, Sodom and Gomorrah didn't deserve it, but Abraham was an intercessor here. Mm. He was standing in the gap for the city of Sodom. Really, he didn't need to. Mm. I mean, I'm sure he was thinking about Lot, but at the same time, he was not just asking for Lot's deliverance, was he?
Mm-hmm.
He was asking for the entire city's deliverance. May God give you and me a boldness to ask God, maybe for far more than we're asking him. Asking God for our village, asking God for souls, asking God to be merciful, asking him to spare. But it means to know God, because Abraham knew he was. He knew the judge of the earth would do right. He knew that God was fair, and he knew that God was gracious, and he knew there must have had some inkling that God would actually hear him pray. Mm-hmm. So there's a great lesson in this. So the Lord said, it's spared. There was 50. Do you know what? Abraham knew there wasn't 50. He started with 50.
The Lord knew there wasn't 50.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
but Abraham had to know there wasn't 50 because he would have said, okay, well, fair enough. Because what does he do next? Then Abraham answered and said, indeed now, I who am but dust and ashes have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. He said, who am I?
Yeah.
I'm just dust and ashes. That's all I am. But I've taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose there were 5 less than 50 righteous. Would you destroy all the city for lack of 5? So he said, if I find there 45, I will not destroy it. And so he spoke to him yet again and said, suppose there should be 40 found there. So he said, I will not do it for the sake of 40. He said, let not the Lord be angry, and I'll speak. Suppose 30 should be found there. He said, I'll not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, indeed now, I have taken it upon myself to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 should be found there. So he said, I'll not destroy it for the sake of 20. He keeps going down. He's got to keep going down because he knows
there's nobody
in there. Okay, 20, well, that's a pretty good safe chance. He knew there wasn't 20. This is the condition, and this is one thing I want you to understand. This is the total depraved condition of Sodom and Gomorrah, that you couldn't find in the entire city even 20 that would be found righteous. But Abraham interceded, and he went even further. He said, let not the Lord be angry, I'll speak but once more. When he said that, there was no more to say. I'll speak this once more, he said. Suppose 10 should be found there. He said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10. So the Lord went his way as soon as he finished speaking with Abraham. And Abraham returned to his place. Abraham went as far as he figured he could go. Now some have said, what if he had asked for one? Maybe the Lord would have spared it. I don't know. But Abraham knew God. And he knew that justice needed to be served. And indeed, the Lord was as gracious as he could possibly be, in that in spite of this, because it didn't meet the threshold of 10, Lot was still rescued from Sodom and Gomorrah. He still rescued Lot. And Abraham returned to his place. But I want to encourage you, pray, intercede, cry out to God. He is so full of grace and merciful. He does answer prayer. So the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. Now, the New Testament tells us in the book of Hebrews that Lot was vexed with the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah. 2 Peter 2:5 says, he spared not the old world, that is pre-Noah times, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing the flood upon the whole world of the ungodly. And in 2:6 it says, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example to those that after should live ungodly. And so Sodom and Gomorrah was not only a judgment on them, but it was an example to others, that if you live an ungodly life, that there are consequences. That's plainly taught here, isn't it? And delivered just Lot. You know, sometimes I find that hard to swallow, because when we look at the story of Lot at this point, he doesn't seem all that just. We'll see why. He delivered just Lot, who was vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. I've got an old translation here. My phone went dead, and I had to get another one, and I didn't get my more modern translations yet.
God also rescued Lot out of Sodom because he was a righteous man who was sick of the shameful immorality of the wicked people around him.
Okay. And in 2 Peter 2:8 says, for that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So he was grieved with it, and yet, what had he done?
Nothing.
He had pitched his tent toward Sodom. He was in the gates, yes. That is where the leaders or the elders would actually sit, at the gates of the city.
One thing I find funny is that with all the livestock that he had,
yeah,
what was he doing living in the city?
Good question. He probably had, you know, an empire built. Maybe he sold his sheep. Maybe he had, you know, all the, you know, shepherds out there looking after everything. And he was sitting in the city enjoying himself, or so-called enjoying, though this seems to indicate that he was grieved. And sometimes we too are grieved with the sin around us. But sometimes we are actually more infected by it than we know. And so when we consider that in the New Testament, we come to Lot rising up to meet them and bowing himself with his face toward the ground. He knew that there was something unique about these two that came. And he says to them, "Hear now, my lords. Please turn into your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise early and go on your way." And they said, "No, but we will spend the night in the open square." But Lot insisted strongly, so they turned in with him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. Now before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both old and young, all the people from every quarter surrounded the house. These two must have been quite the specimens, these two angels. They attracted a lot of attention. The word traveled throughout the whole city about these amazing two men, in their eyes, who had come into the city and were staying at Lot's house. And they called to Lot and said to him, "Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them carnally."
Right.
We know what that means.
Yeah.
And that was their desire.
Mm-hmm.
This city was filled with homosexuality. Mm-hmm. Some have tried to say all the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah wasn't homosexuality at all. It was that they were rapists. And there's truth to that they were rapists. But there's also truth to the fact that they wanted to do something that the Bible clearly has condemned. So Lot went out to them through the doorway and shut the door behind him. So Lot's brave. He actually is pretty brave. The whole town is out there and they want those two men.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lot comes out, shuts the door behind him to protect them, and stands between them. "Please, my brothers, do not do so wickedly." And then he does something that is pretty hard to comprehend.
Yeah, he wants to give them to the daughter.
"See now, I have two daughters who've not known a man. Please let me bring them out to you, and you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." In other words, he said, they've come under the shadow of my roof for protection. I owe them protection. So I'll give you a deal. I'll give you a substitute. Take my two daughters. They're virgins. You can have them. What do you say to that? Would you say that Lot was a righteous man?
No.
He was compromising his own flesh and blood.
The problem is like the frog in the water, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know the story about the frog in the water? You put him in the cold water. He sits in the cold water. You heat up the water slowly.
Yeah.
The frog cooks to death. Never jumps out of the water. But if you threw a frog in boiling water, guess what would happen? He'd hop right back out.
Yeah.
The problem is compromising bit by bit.
Mm.
And so that even though Lot was a believer, the New Testament teaches he was still a believer.
Mm-hmm.
He was still someone who belonged to God. And I, for the life of me, it's difficult for me to say, to think about him being someone who is a true believer who went this far down the wrong road, who compromised this much to the point where he had been so infected by the spirit of Sodom that he was prepared to offer up his own daughters.
Well, that's why there's salvation for us. We can go deep down the bad road.
We can.
And come back.
It never excuses it, though.
No.
And
not.
It never
oh,
says
no.
It's okay
no.
to go in that direction.
Of course not.
But what a mess. Mm. They said, stand back. They said, this one came in to stay here, and he keeps acting as a judge. Notice what it says? He keeps acting as a judge. This isn't the first time Lot rebuked them for their wickedness. This isn't the first time he stood up to them. Now we'll deal worse with you than with them. So they pressed hard against the man Lot and came near to breaking down the door. But the men reached out their hands and pulled Lot into the house with them and shut the door. This is high adventure. Man.
Yeah.
This is extreme. The stakes were high. And Lot was rescued in the middle of that, from that. Now we have to give him credit that he was determined to protect these men with his life, because he stepped out in front of them in the first place, and he was actually willing to trade his daughters for their life. They had no time for that. Obviously, with the wickedness that these men had, it's a wonder that they had never been raped before, these girls.
Yeah.
But why? Because their minds were so perverted, they were involved in other practices.
Yeah.
And so the angel struck the men who were at the doorway of the house with blindness. Genesis 19:11. Both small and great, so they became weary trying to find the door. And so that issue was dealt with by the angels. It was dealt with by the hand of God. It wasn't dealt with by the dickering of Lot. You don't dicker with the devil. You come to the Lord and you allow the Lord to do the work. He does a better job than you dickering with the devil, compromising with the devil. A little bit of evil for a little bit of good doesn't work. There is no pathway if we start to try to dicker with the devil. Let's let God be God in our lives. So now the men said to Lot, have you anyone else here? Son-in-laws, your sons, your daughters, whomever you have in the city, take them out of this place. So the warning's been given. And the warning was extended beyond, not only to Lot, but to his family, and even to son-in-laws. For we will destroy this place, because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. Now, where did the outcry come from, I wonder? Who was doing the outcry?
Abraham.
Pardon?
Abraham.
It doesn't seem as if that was the case.
No.
We don't have any record of that. But I would venture to say that it could very well be the people that had been terribly abused by these people in this town.
Okay.
Who cried out. Who cried out, is there any justice? Is there any hope? Is there any help? Is there any judgment? Is there anything fair? Because these weren't the first ones that they had gotten a hold of, you may be sure.
Yeah.
They had been greatly emboldened to think they could do whatever they wanted. And the Lord sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, who had married his daughters, and said, get up, get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But to his sons-in-law, he seemed to be joking. They didn't believe it for a second. They were like the people in Noah's day as he built the boat.
Yeah.
You're crazy.
Yeah.
City's always been here. We've always been doing what we're doing. And they had no respect for Lot. They didn't respect him. And I wonder sometimes if there's no respect because there was so much compromise. Whatever happens, his sons-in-laws didn't listen. And of course, that means that the two daughters that were married to the sons-in-laws didn't go. So in the morning, when the morning dawned, the angel urged Lot to hurry. He said, arise, take your wife, your two daughters who are here. Remember,
yes.
There were other daughters.
Yeah.
They didn't come. Lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city, And then what does it say?
And while he lingered.
While he lingered. He lingered. Lot had pitched his tent towards Sodom, and now he lingered. He waited. He wanted to stay a little bit longer. Sodom had gotten part of his heart, and he lingered. What happened? The men took hold of his hand and his wife's hand and the hand of his two daughters, and the Lord being merciful to him, they brought him out and set him outside the city. Sometimes God has to drag us kicking and screaming away from our position of compromise, our position of sin. But this is mercy. You see, this is mercy. This isn't Lot cooperating. He's not cooperating. He's lingering. He's not listening. And so they forcefully pulled him out of the city along with the two daughters and his wife. They brought him out and set him outside the city. They did it. Lot didn't go on his own power. He didn't want to leave. He wanted to stay. Even though he had been told, and he went and told his sons-in-laws, he still lingered. So it came to pass when they brought them outside, he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed." And what does Lot say?
No.
Please, no, my lords. I saw Matilda shaking her head at him. How often does God shake his head at us? How we want to compromise. How we want to follow the way of the world and still think all is well. "Indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight, and you've increased your mercy, which you show me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die." Where was the evil overtaking him?
His heart.
It was in Sodom.
Yeah.
It was in the cities of the plain. It was a place of wickedness. That's where the evil was overtaking him. He had another imaginary evil. He was more concerned about his physical well-being than his spiritual well-being. Do you see that? "I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to. It's a little one. Please let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." This is not Abraham praying for the salvation of souls. This is a man who is so entangled and so afraid and so unwilling to trust God that he wanted to move to a little city, still in the plain, still stay within the realm of the wicked practices of these cities. He said to him, "See, I favored you concerning this thing also, in that I will not overthrow the city which you have spoken. Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything until you arrive there." The mercy, the grace. But you know, we'll see what happens with Lot at the end of this story. "Therefore the name of that city was called Zoar. And the sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. And the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. He overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Where was her heart?
In Sodom.
It was back in Sodom.
What about his daughters?
Pardon?
What about his daughters?
Well, I don't want to mention.
We'll read about his daughters next.
Okay.
So Lot, two daughters, and his wife. But his wife looks back, and he said, "Don't look back." They were instructed not to look back. What does that refer to? That also gives us the picture that that's where her heart was there. She had become so immersed in Sodom that that's where she wanted to be. In spite of the great wickedness of this place, and we see that also, the reluctance of Lot. And so what are the consequences of pitching your tent towards Sodom?
Well,
The consequences are great. The consequences are destruction of your family, destruction of your morals. And we find here that even Lot's wife didn't make it. She didn't listen. So Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he had stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw, and behold, the smoke of the land which went up like the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham, but he sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had dwelt. You see, Lot had not just lived in one of those cities. He'd been around the block. He'd been around the towns. He had lived in the place of wickedness. So Lot went up out of Zorah and dwelt in the what?
Mountains.
The mountains. Yeah. And his two daughters were with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zorah. I wonder why.
Yeah.
Everything else had got roasted and toasted.
Yeah.
He suddenly was afraid that Zorah would be worse. It would be next. And here he was the very one that said, oh, don't send me up into the mountains, because that's where they were told him to go in the first place,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Because I might die there. But now he's afraid to live in Zoar because he might die there. There's a better focus, right? There's a much better focus on whether you might die or not die. It is to seek the Lord and be obedient to God, to put him first in your heart and in your soul. And so he ended up in a cave with his two daughters. Now the firstborn said to the younger, our father is old, and there's no man on the earth to come into us as is the custom of all the earth. What they knew, I don't know. But they had a limited geographic understanding.
Yeah.
They thought the whole earth had burned up and there was only Lot and them two left.
Mm-hmm.
They said, there's nobody left for us to bear children with. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. So they made their father drink wine that night, and the firstborn went in and lay with her father. And he did not know when she lay down or when she rose up. So we can see what happens here. Not only had Lot been corrupted by Sodom, not only had his wife been corrupted by Sodom, not only had the two daughters been corrupted that stayed with the two men in Sodom, but these two daughters as well had been deeply affected by the immorality of this place. And Lot didn't have a clue what happened that night. And it happened on the next day, the firstborn said to the younger, indeed, I lay with my father last night. Let's make him drink wine tonight also, and you go in and lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father. Some people have said the Bible's a bad book because there's a lot of bad stuff in it. Is there bad stuff in the Bible?
Yes.
It just shows human nature.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Bible is honest about what human nature is really like.
Yeah.
So they made their father drink wine that night also, and the younger arose and lay with him, and he did not know when she lay down or when she arose. So both the daughters of Lot were with child by their father. And the firstborn bore a son and called his name Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. And the younger, she also bore a son, called his name Ammi. He is the father of the people of Ammon to this day, or the
Ammonites.
So that's the conclusion of the story of Lot. Not a very nice one, is it? But a lesson learned starts with pitching your tent towards Sodom. It starts with compromise. A little compromise never stays a little. Grows, grows, and grows, and you end up with a mess. It's a solemn warning, really, when you stop and think about it, the consequences of it. So may God keep us holy in our conduct. Sometimes you have no choice where you live. But you do have a choice about what you pitch your tent towards. What steals your heart? What owns your thinking? The directions that you go in.